This week's podcast is made possible through the contributions of listeners like you. Please consider giving a gift to keep this podcast running along with other From the Top programming. Go to fromthetop.org. How on earth does a teenager in today's world get into opera? Today, an 18-year-old mezzo shares her conversion from Beyoncé to Bizet and tells us about the powerful role of music in her life. From NPR, it's From the Top. Celebrating the energy of America's kids and the power of classical music. We're home in Boston at New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall, where we'll also hear a 15-year-old pianist from here in Massachusetts play Prokofiev's Sonata No. 3 and a young violinist from New York tell the funny tale of his first recital. Let's just say he had no trouble with stage fright. Here's our host, one of America's great concert pianists, Christopher O'Reilly.
Thank you. Thanks very much, and welcome. Today's show is going to celebrate our home state of Massachusetts for its unusual abundance of musical talent, but also for its well-earned reputation as a high-tech hub. You see, we have a special guest who's the perfect blend of both those worlds. He's the high-tech entrepreneur who co-created the juggernaut musical video game, Guitar Hero, and then went on to develop the even bigger game, Rock Band. But Aran Agosi also happens to be a fine classical musician who won't be wielding a game controller when he joins us later. He'll be playing the clarinet. Aran's going to join me and an excellent teenage cellist in some chamber music by Brahms. But we're going to kick things off with another outstanding musician from Massachusetts, this one 15 years old. Please welcome Mackenzie Melamed. Mackenzie, tell everyone where you're from.
I live in Paxton, Massachusetts.
So that's central Mass near Worcester, mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
You're going to start us off with, I don't know, I think there isn't a greater opening piece in the piano repertoire, and this one's by Prokofiev. It's not heard very often. Tell everyone what it's going to be.
I'll be playing his third sonata.
Okay, stage is yours.
Thank you.
Mackenzie Melamed, our 15-year-old pianist from Paxton, Massachusetts, playing Prokofiev's Sonata No. 3 in A minor, Opus 28. Oh, Mackenzie, thank you so much for that. I just love the way you play Prokofiev. You played Prokofiev for us on TV not too long ago.
Yeah, I played his first piano sonata about 3 years ago.
And I know you've got first piano concerto of Prokofiev coming up soon.
Yeah, I'll be playing Prokofiev's first piano concerto next week.
That's great. This guy's busy, you know? Prokofiev presents us pianists with all sorts of challenges. What do you find especially tricky about his music?
I find that a lot of what he writes is a lot of anticipation because the mood constantly changes within the sonata. It's kind of just like you have to tease the audience and make them really want the climax and then, you know, not give it to them right away. And that just kind of It's fun for me. I don't know if it's fun for you. But it kind of just the difficulty and, you know, the way you go about kind of really building it up to a big finish.
Of course, he doesn't mention the technical problems at all because there are no technical problems for him. But I love that you're concentrating on the theatrical and sculpting the moment. And, of course, you're not just playing classical music these days. You are into showbiz in a big way. Tell everybody about your budding Broadway career.
I wouldn't say a budding Broadway career, but I do love, in my spare time, doing arrangements of The Phantom of the Opera and The Sound of Music. You know, when I do performances, I love to play that, so it's kind of a familiar thing for some people. And also, I love doing the musicals and being in the pit band at my school in Worcester. Last year, we did Thoroughly Modern Millie, and next week, we'll be starting Urinetown.
Wow. So you like doing musical theater at your school, but here's a new one on me. You also like your school's decor.
Over the summer they decided to put carpets in to make it more homey, and they because it was all tile before, and now and they painted the outside green, and the inside were beige and kind of orangey beige, and everyone just came in and thought that it was Panera Bread. Where's the croissants? I want my, you know, pesto mozzarella paninis.
I know, of course, and you tip your teachers, of course, I'm sure.
No. I mean, it's kind of tough. We have a strict dress code, so, you know, sometimes they give infractions, and then if you get three, you got to go to a detention, and sometimes I get in trouble for talking too much.
Really?
It's all the right answers, but they just don't like it.
I hope you don't get in trouble for wearing your school colors, these lime green sneakers
It matches the outside of the gym.
There
so
you
it
go.
Be,
it's only
a promotion.
It's only promotion, and you did your school proud today, and all of us. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you for having me.
Great being with you again. Thanks, Mackenzie. Mackenzie Melamed, 15 years old, from Paxton, Massachusetts.
The Margaret Stuart Lindsay Arts Leadership Award recognizes young musicians who are making a positive difference in and around Boston. To meet the recipients and learn more about From the Top's arts leadership programs, go to fromthetop.org. From the Top is made possible in part by the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, advancing the education of students of exceptional promise who have financial need. On the web at jkcf.org. Chris.
Thanks, Joanne. We're joined now by a violinist, an extremely accomplished young musician. His name is Sam Katz, and he's the former concertmaster of the Juilliard Pre-College Orchestra and now the current concertmaster of the New York Youth Symphony. Sam, we're going to talk about what it's like to knock a bunch of New York orchestra kids into shape in a minute, but first, let's hear you play. Tell everybody what we're going to be hearing.
We're going to be performing the Spring Breeze Sonata by Edward Gallander.
Now, Edward Gallander, you know this composer. He's like a family friend, right?
That's right. He's a family friend for as long as I can remember.
What's he like?
He's been coming over. Well, every time he comes over our house, we always jam. He always plays music all the time. And I really admire his passion towards music.
You yourself are a big part of this piece's history.
That's right. I've actually premiered this work, and this piece was written 40 years ago, so I think it's pretty cool that after 40 years, only now it's being premiered.
Wow. So Mr. Callender wrote it 40 years ago. Was it inspired by any particular event?
Or? It was inspired after his studies with Aram Khachaturian.
Wow. Very exciting. So we're going to give the radio premiere now.
All great. Right.
Let's take it from the top.
Thank you.
Samuel Katz, 17 years old, our violinist from Leonia, New Jersey, just outside New York City, playing Edward Callender's Spring Breeze Sonata. Sam, so exciting to play that piece with you.
And
Mr. Callender, I'm sure, is very, very proud to have you as his emissary. It's a wonderful piece. Your parents started you on violin at a very early age. I think it's fair to say we can paint the picture by saying you showed up for your first violin lesson in a stroller. Is that
correct.
True?
Correct, yes. With a bottle, too.
With a bottle.
Yeah.
And you've got a great story about your first performance ever.
On my first performance, I performed when I was 4 years old, I performed a Russian Christmas song, which lasted about 1 minute. And after I finished the piece, I bowed, and then I liked the applause, so I decided to play it one more time. Unfortunately, by the third time, my teacher had to take me off the stage.
Auspicious beginnings.
Yes.
So now from those beginnings with the violin to the lofty position of concertmaster. As we said earlier, you're currently concertmaster of the New York Youth Symphony. What have you been learning in that role?
Well, I have to be... First of all, I love this orchestra very much. The environment, everyone is there because they love orchestral music, and everyone is very dedicated to their work. And one thing that, I mean, as concertmaster, I have to be very, very prepared. And my favorite part about concertmaster is that I have the opportunity of working with other people. Individually, I can ask them what they think about certain bowings, and just to collaborate with them.
Mm-hmm. What have been some of the more and the less successful ways you've had in taking on that leadership? What things have worked and what things haven't worked?
Every week, I send out what's called assignments. I email assignments to them, and half of them are inspirational, telling them that, you know, that all this hard work will pay off. It's not just pointless. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I ask them to do, I guess, sometimes I can be extremely demanding, maybe unjustly, but I've asked some of them to, by the end, right before the concert, I asked them to memorize to actually practice from memory, because we've been playing it, 4 hours every single week for about 20 weeks. Mm-hmm. So I think it actually was a little bit appropriate. And people have done it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Some people came and... The New York Times Review was the title of the New York Times Review was Showing Adults How It's Done.
Well, there you go. That's pretty high praise. That's good. You know, it occurs to me that Alan Gilbert, who's the conductor of the New York Philharmonic and now head of orchestral studies at Juilliard as well, was some people on both sides of this question, but he insists that eye contact with the conductor is essential. I mean,
absolutely.
Which presupposes a fair amount of memorization. What do you think about that?
Absolutely. I mean, especially with our conductor, he's a phenomenal musician, and a lot of the times, I mean, we need eye contact. Mm-hmm. And if he receives the orchestra's eye contact, which happened on Carnegie Hall stage, the music we made was superb.
There you go. Wonderful performance, and great being with you, and best of luck in everything. Thanks for being with us. Samuel Katz, 17 years old, our violinist from Leonia, New Jersey. And now a very special treat. As I mentioned at the top of the show, one of Boston's most innovative entrepreneurs is with us today. He's the guy who co-created the blockbuster musical video games Guitar Hero and Rock Band. But it turns out that he leads a dual life. After his very cool job on the cutting edge of music and technology, he plays music as a very fine classical clarinetist and a member of the chamber music ensemble Radius. Please welcome Eran Agosi. Eran, it's great to have you with us, and you're the perfect guest artist for this show, a highly regarded classical musician trained here, I understand, at New England Conservatory.
That's right, yes.
And who just happens to create musical games that every teenager loves. Well, anybody who plays them loves, of any age. 21 million games sold in 10 years. It's amazing. We're going to learn what you were up to as a teenager yourself in a moment, but first, we'll play some music together. Will you tell everybody what they're going to hear?
Sure. We are going to play the last movement of the Brahms Clarinet Trio, Opus 114.
Ah, wait a minute.
And it's for clarinet, piano, and cello.
Well, we're going to need a cellist, aren't we?
I think that's a good idea.
Oh, good. We are lucky to have a fabulous 16-year-old cellist joining us on stage. And luckily, he's the same cellist we rehearsed with. This is Jonah Ellsworth. Jonah, good to have you back. We've known you on this show since you were 11, I think, and we've been following your musical progress since then, but I guess the folks down the street now know just how good you are, too. Tell everyone what I'm talking about.
Well, I just recently won the Boston Symphony Orchestra Concerto Competition.
That's awesome. Very impressive. That's all well and good, but how well could you handle a mystery set list on Rock Band?
I don't know. I'll challenge you, Chris.
I'm sure you'd beat me. Let's play this Brahms, shall we?
Thank you.
finale of Brahms' Clarinet Trio in A minor, played by Aram Agosi, our clarinetist, and 16-year-old cellist Jonah Ellsworth, with yours truly at the piano. A pleasure, gentlemen, a true pleasure. Just great to have you here, and just love playing that piece. Jonah, since you're an old hand on this show, we've talked to you before, but I'd love to have you join the conversation. If you have some questions for Aran, please join in. Aran, you met someone very important while playing this particular piece.
Oh, right. Yes. This piece means a lot to me. In fact, I first played it when it was assigned to us back in school as chamber music, and it turns out the pianist who was assigned to this group, she was pretty cute. And it turns out her name is Yukiko Ueno, and we are now married.
So playing this venerable and quite romantic and successfully romantic piece, clearly.
It worked out pretty well.
Yeah, and initially playing the clarinet, you were a band kid, yes?
Oh, right, yes. Yeah. So my parents and I and my brother arrived in this country when I was about 11, and I started playing clarinet right after that and quickly joined the junior high school band, where I was seated third clarinet, third seat. And I remember looking over kind of at the first clarinet sections, thinking, my God, their fingers are moving pretty fast. How do you do that? And so, you know, that was kind of inspiration for me, and I eventually made it to first clarinet, which was gratifying, and then sort of continued on through in high school, and was lucky enough to be in GYPSO, Greater Boston Youth Symphony Orchestra, and you know, so it was a really wonderful experience for me.
Were you interested in computers back then too?
Oh yeah, right. So, okay. So, truth be told, I'm kind of a nerd, and when I came back from school, back in junior high school, I'd actually go over and start working on the computer that my dad bought for me. It was an Apple IIe. Mm-hmm. Anyone remember that? That's right. And so I just loved playing with the computer and actually programming it. I got this book on how to program the computer and kind of started doing that.
I know you went on to MIT and then in graduate school to the MIT Media Lab. But did you debate about going to a conservatory instead, or was this a good way of doing
track? It was pretty tough, actually. I remember I was a senior in high school wondering, you know, what to do next, where to apply to schools. Do I apply to conservatories? Do I apply to sort of more traditional universities? It was a hard process, and talked it over with my parents a lot, and I ended up choosing to go to MIT, and I think it was the right choice for me. So one thing I didn't realize about MIT, which I think a lot of people don't know, is that they actually have an amazing music department.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Really, really top-notch with amazing faculty.
John Harbison's there.
John Harbison is there. Marcus mm-hmm. Thompson is there. Mm-hmm. David DeVoe. Mm-hmm. And I played a lot at MIT. That's, in fact, where I met my wife. Mm-hmm. And but then I took lessons here at NEC with Bill Zeeshan. So it was a nice combination.
So after you started your company, did you have a hit with Guitar Hero right away?
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. So, all right. So fast forward a bit to graduating from college, and my partner Alex and I didn't really want to get a standard job. So we thought, you know, let's just start a company. I mean, that's the only way that we get to do these fun music computer things. this was in 1995. Jonah, Guitar Hero, that came out in 2005. So for those of you who can do some quick calculations, that's about 10 years of us trying to figure it out. And, you know, I remember someone saying Guitar Hero, an overnight success, 10 years in the making.
Right.
which, you know, that pretty much was it. We had made a lot of different games all throughout the years that I'm sure none of you had heard of. And that's the thing, though, you know, you persist, you just kind of keep working on it, you keep doing what you love, and that motivates you, and then, you know, and then it happens.
I love the idea of these games as being the portal through which non, non-performing musicians or untrained musicians all of a sudden get the excitement of performing in front of a live audience.
Well, exactly. So the mission of Harmonix, of our company, is to give everyone in the world out there the thrill and joy of the feeling of making music without actually having to know how to do it, right? So here we are on stage having a great time, and we know what an exhilarating feeling that is, but we wanted to give that feeling to everyone else. And with games like Guitar Hero and then Rock Band, where you get the whole band on stage, I think people really, really get that sensation.
So there was Rock Band, Rock Band 2, then the Beatles Rock Band, and you just released Rock Band 3, thank you very much, because that's the first one that has a keyboard controller.
That's right.
Controller.
Chris, we were thinking of you
of course.
When we put the keyboards into Rock Band 3.
And what I think is the coolest Rock Band of all, Rock Band Pro, that's part of Rock Band 3,
that's
I guess?
Right. So we introduced into Rock Band 3 this mode called Rock Band Pro, where you can take all the instruments, including keyboard, and the neat thing that happens is it's still a game, but when you play it, you're actually learning the real notes of the instrument. Mm-hmm. So unlike the plastic guitar that we traditionally use for Guitar Hero and Rock Band, where you're not really learning how to play guitar. Here, you're actually learning how to play real instruments. In fact, we have a guitar controller which has over 100 buttons on the neck and has actual strings.
Yeah.
And by playing the game, you will learn how to actually play real songs, which means that then you can take the guitar, plug it into an amp, and really play the songs that you just learned in the game.
Peter Schickley might say Rock Band is sneakily educational. Isn't that it? Sort of. It's a game, but it's a game that teaches.
It's true. And it's funny. It's not something we necessarily set out on initially. That wasn't the original goal. But what we realized was people were playing these games and getting so into them and really becoming talented, so to speak, at the game. And we were thinking, well, if they're spending so much time with this, why not give them the opportunity to actually become more musical and really play real instruments? And so that's the whole point.
Well, it's demanding. I mean, I played Rock Band 3, and I mean, if you're off a millisecond in terms of rhythm or the notes, of course, there's this terrible clinker noise.
Yes,
very,
right.
very, very.
Well, you were so, Chris. You were over at Harmonix yesterday, and we had a good time playing together.
That's right.
We were playing good old '80s rock music.
Of course,
we
my
got
favorite.
Very nostalgic.
Yeah.
You're right. You have to play the right notes and the right rhythm.
Yeah. Folks, there's a video of our visit on the website fromthetop.org. So, Jonah, anything else?
When's Cello Hero coming out?
All right.
Yes.
Well, that's a good point. So we put the keyboard in. So if we put cello and clarinet in, we could do some Brahms.
There you go.
How many copies do you think that would sell? I'm sure everyone out here in the audience would buy it.
Of course. We'll look forward to it. And in the meantime, we have the memory of this great performance and being together. So thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Bravo. Jonah Ellsworth, 16-year-old cellist from Cambridge, Massachusetts, and our special guest, clarinetist and entrepreneur Aran Agosi, also from here in Boston, and the co-founder of Harmonix Music Systems, the creators of Guitar Hero and Rock Band.
Being in the audience for a From the Top taping is an amazing experience. You get to see these incredible young performers in action. This winter, we're headed to Boston, Kalamazoo, Pittsburgh, and Ogden, Utah. Check out our national tour schedule at fromthetop.org.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. From the Poetry Foundation, celebrating 100 years of Poetry Magazine, online at poetryfoundation.org. And from the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people, online at wtgrantfoundation.org. This is NPR.
From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the energy of America's kids and the power of classical music. This week, we're coming to you from New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall in Boston. New England Conservatory, where talented young musicians are creating a new century of musical excellence. Coming up, the effervescent music of Poulenc, performed by teenagers studying at the Walnut Hill School in nearby Natick, Massachusetts. Here again is Christopher O'Reilly.
Thanks, Joanne. Joining us now on stage is a superb young mezzo-soprano. She's 18 years old, and her name is Samantha Hanke. Sam, you're from Massachusetts too, yes?
Yes.
Where from?
I'm from Marshfield, Massachusetts.
While I head back to the piano, tell everyone what we're going to be hearing and give us an idea what's going on in this aria.
I will be singing Que fais-tu, Blanche Tourterelle, from Romeo and Juliet by Gounod. And in this aria, I am a character, Stefano, a pants roll. And basically, Stefano's getting himself into a lot of trouble. He's very naive, adolescent, and sticking his nose where he shouldn't be.
He's not even in the Shakespeare play, is he?
No, he's not.
So what's he doing? He's instigating this riot.
Yes, he's instigating the fight.
Taunting the guards.
Yes.
All right, let's do this. You know, Que fais-tu, Blanche Tortorella, from Romeo and Juliet, sung for us by Samantha Henke, our 18-year-old mezzo-soprano from Marshfield, Massachusetts. Beautiful. Just great. Just glorious hearing you in this room and that wonderful and very playful and really a dangerous aria that, you know, you're really instigating a bloody battle, and it's so ironic. That's just so great. So, Sam, how does a normal American teenage girl like you get into opera? Sometimes it starts like this.
It's the hard knock life.
So, Sam, are we alluding to Hard Knocks or musical theater?
Musical theater, Annie. I started singing in the children's chorus of Annie at age 6, and soon after, I really wanted to be in voice lessons, so my mom got me into lessons, and I've been singing since.
So ambitious of you to ask at such a young age for voice lessons. It's so great. And then, as you became a teenager, naturally your tastes became much more sophisticated. So what's the story with your great infatuation with Beyoncé?
Well, soon after I started voice lessons, I also joined the Boston Children's Chorus, and I attended Sunday preparatory classes in Cambridge at Longy. And it was our first voice workshop, and everyone's sitting around, and we're introducing ourselves and saying our favorite singers, and I did not listen to classical music. I definitely did not come from a classical or a musical family, so I didn't know who these singers they were naming off were, and it got to me, and I was just like, I like Beyoncé. And looking back on that now, I'm pretty sure they were probably smirking at me. And,
no. But so much the worse for them. Nice, nicely done. It's exactly the reverse of the kind of story we usually hear on our show. Usually we have kids announce that they like Schoenberg to the kids in their class and suffer the consequences. But at least you were struck down by the actual opera bug itself. That's from Rachel Portman's recent opera, The Little Prince. How did you come to be performing this music?
Well, I found out about the Walnut Hill School for the Performing Arts, and I entered as a freshman, and it was one of the first voice master classes we had with Angela Gooch, the head of the department, and she said, so in the springtime, we'll be doing an opera, a fully staged opera, and I was just thinking to myself, I don't know if I want to do an opera. I was very hesitant to that idea. I didn't listen to classical music, but as the year progressed, I definitely fell in love with music, which wow. is different for a lot of people, as a lot of musicians are sort of forced into it. Mm-hmm. Not all, but sometimes that's the case, and I kind of found it on my own.
Well, and that's a pretty wonderful entree, that The Little Prince. You've told us also that music has been a major way for you to center yourself in your life.
Well, I mean, everyone has their own struggles growing up, and for me personally, my way of going into music was starting with the voice lessons and then attending Boston Children's Chorus and going to Longy School of Music. So I always had music in my life, even when certain times were difficult. So music really proved as a constant and something that was always there for me, mm-hmm. and it certainly grew over time to being my passion now. And
yeah. I know the Children's Chorus is really a great sort of community, a mm-hmm. supportive community, and there you are all contributing to something greater than yourself, and very inspiring and very comforting, a source of solace. Glad you found it. Great pleasure to get to know you, and I'm happy to say, Sam, that you've been chosen as one of our Jack Kent Cook Young Artists. Congratulations on that. Well deserved.
Thank you.
And thanks for being with us. Beautiful. Samantha Henke, 18 years old, our mezzo-soprano from Marshfield, Massachusetts.
Podcasts of From the Top are available every week at fromthetop.org. Over the last 5 years, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation have awarded well over $1 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need. We still have more to give. Go to fromthetop.org to learn more. Chris.
And now we've got a buoyant musical finale in the form of a piano and wind sextet, all of whom, like Samantha, attend the Walnut Hill School. We have a flutist, 18-year-old Michael Zeleny. Sam Waring, 17 years old, our third Sam of the day, plays oboe. Nicholas Davies, our clarinetist, is 17. Our bassoonist is 18-year-old David Cornelius. Our French horn player is 18-year-old Natasha Ramanujam. And our pianist is 16-year-old Hei Yun Song. Sam, Nick, and Natasha are with me at the microphones. So, Sam, you mentioned that your coach, Laura Thielke, has had to really work with you all on the energy of this piece. How is she pushing you?
Yeah, I think this piece is different from a lot of other chamber music in the sense that it really drives forward always.
Very impetuous, yeah.
Yeah, you can't relax at any point or sit back and just play the notes. You really always have to be thinking about that forward motion. It's like a very metropolitan feel, and I think that the piece just needs that energy that
Absolutely.
She gives us.
And Nick, what do you think? What do you like about this piece?
What's pretty amazing about this piece is the textures and the voicing that Poulenc uses. And what's really amazing is how each of the wind instruments actually has to play a role in the phrasing of the piece. Now, there's no one single phrase of the piece which is played by one single instrument. It's handed off to each instrument, making one complete phrase.
It has to be a very elegant juggling act constantly. Natasha, here you are with four teenage boys in this ensemble. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Oh, boy. It's a lot of fun, but, you know, sometimes it gets a little chaotic. They have a very mature sense of humor, all four of them. But I must say, I mean, I love working with all four of them. They just bring such great energy to the table, and rehearsals are always fun and spontaneous, kind of, in a sense, you know. I don't know what's going to happen.
I think manic boy energy isn't the worst thing for this piece, I would gather. While the three of you join your mates and get ready to play, I want to thank all of our great young performers today, and thank you all for joining us and listening. This is Christopher O'Reilly. Please join me next week. And now, an ensemble from the Walnut Hill School performing the Sextet for Piano and Winds by Francis Poulenc. Thank you.
Top is written and produced by Tom Bagley for Tom Bagley Productions, with Tim Banker for From the Top. Musical direction by Tom Vinieri with Caroline Cardius-Menos. Our tour producer is David Balsam. Our production manager is Elizabeth DeVore, with lighting by Daniel Black and Anne Dressbach. Technical direction by Barrett Ouellette, with Lauren Queso, David Forbes, Claus Nystrom, and John Servies. The executive producers are Gerald Slavitt and Jennifer Hurley-Wales. I'm Joanne Robinson. From the Top is produced in association with WGBH Boston. Our home and educational partner is New England Conservatory in Boston. The Margaret Stuart Lindsay Arts Leadership Award recognizes young musicians who are making a positive difference in and around Boston. To meet the recipients and learn more about From the Top's arts leadership programs, go to fromthetop.org.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from the Joyce Foundation, working to improve the quality of life in the Great Lakes region. Learn more at joycefdn.org. From the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live healthy, productive lives, at gatesfoundation.org. And from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. This is NPR.